Om Namah Shivaya. Dear listeners of Shaivam.org, the next program is Divine Discourse. In this, you are about to listen Highlights of Upanishads. The title is Prashna Upanishads, presented by Swami Jyotirmayananda. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
Lecture on Prashna Upanishad, and now Pujya Atman Shri Swami Jyotirmayananda.
Om Bhadram Karanebhi Shrinuyama Deva Bhadram Pashyemaksh Virya Jatra Stirairangai Tushtuvagam Sastanu Virvyashema Yevahitam Yadayuhu Swastina Indro Vriddhashrava Swastina Hapusha Vishwaveda स्वस्तिनस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमि स्वस्तिनो बृहस्पतिर् दधातु ओम शांति शांति शांति. द पीस चैंट ऑफ प्रश्नोपनिषद. ओ गॉड्स, वन ओवर हियर द वर्ड गॉड्स दैट डू नॉट रिलेट टू मेनी गॉड्स, सिंपली मीन्स वन गॉड विथ मेनी एस्पेक्ट्स. लुक एट द सन, सो मेनी रेज कमिंग अप. You can say, O God, or can say, O Gods. We who invoke God, may we hear what is auspiciousness with our ears. May we see what is auspicious with our eyes. May we offer our praise with our bodies, strong of limbs, and thus enjoy life for pleasing God. May Indra with all pervasive fame bestow on us auspiciousness. May Pusha, the knower of the universe, nourisher and sustainer, bring auspiciousness. May Garuda of swift motion, who is like a discus to destroy all Arishtas, may he destroy all troubles. May Brihaspati bestow on us auspiciousness, wisdom. Om peace, peace, peace. We are coming into the fifth question. Prashna Upanishad consists of six questions and their answers. Atahainam Shaivya Satyakamah Prapacha Sayo Havai Sadgat Kavan Manas Manushyeshu Prayanantam Omkaram Abhijayita Katamam Vava Satena Lokam Jayatiti. Then Satyakama, from the family of sage Shaivya, asked, O Brahman, what world do those human beings acquire who practice upasana on Om until they die? Topic is Om Upasana. That's a very profound and most highlighted topic in the practice of Vedanta. The Mundaka Upanishad says, Pranavo dhanu sharo hyatma brahmata lakshya muchyate apramattena vedhavyam sharvat tanmayo bhavet. Om is called pranava. The term pranava has two implications. It's called great sound, the best sound, awakener. Another implication is, it's ever new. Nava is novelty. So if you become a practitioner of japa, japa of divine name, your mind will begin to enjoy that repetition increasingly. Normally, if you ask a person to repeat the same thing, 15 minutes, okay, 20 minutes can be sustained. More than that, boring. But with divine name, you are opening the window of your heart. And as it opens little by little, you get a little sniff of divine presence. Om allows mystic nectar to tickle from a transcendental plane. That's implied, must realize that All mantras begin with Om. Om is a central mantra. Why it is so? It follows a very simple explanation. With A, you open your throats. No, you can't speak anything unless you open your throat. And when you are finished talking, lips close. The closing lips comes with sound. With O, opening, closing. From O to M, that's the range of all human speech. That's the Alpha and Omega. The other religions have also followed the same with little variation. Amen is a variation of Om. Amin is another variation. So when you say Om, you have said anything that your vocal equipment is able to express. That Om is like a bow. Sharo Hyatma. Your soul is like the arrow. You go on repeating the mantras, you are as if letting your very soul to be shot out like an arrow. And where is it going to be shot to? What's the target? Brahmatal Lakshya Muchyate. Brahman, the absolute self, is the target. Give you a very simple illustration. You see a reflected sun in a jar. There is water in the jar and there is a reflected sun. That reflected sun is very similar to jiva, individual soul. Human personality is the bucket, the jar. Mental process is the water. In your personality, in your mental process, absolute consciousness reflects. What you think I am, that's a reflection. Even that reflection is not understood by the mind. And it has various layers. Layers mean five koshas, sheets. Due to ignorance, one views physical body as I am. Next, become a little more reflective. The vital sheath, pranas, that's I am. For all practical purposes, your physical body is your identity. But when you are hungry and thirsty, your physical body is not your identity. Your hunger is your subjective nature. And when you think, imagine, dream, not practical dreams, allegorical. Mind becomes your identity. When you are thinking, rationalizing, evaluating, intellect becomes your identity. And one big problem with all living beings, all humanity, ego is viewed as I am. But when you start asking where that ego is it in the body? There are times you are without the body. There are times without your mind, intellect, when you go to sleep. Where is this I am comes from? Where the ego comes from? So when you begin to inquire, who am I? The normal concept of ego begins to fade away. And your intellect begins to reveal. The I am in you is the absolute self. So, as I have given you the first illustration of the sun reflected in a bucket of water. If the reflected sun were to ask, who am I? The answer will be, you are not the bucket. You are not the water. You are not the fishes in the bucket in any way connected. You are the sun. Now suppose, another highly allegorical way of describing, realizing I am that is like a big archery. From the bucket, the reflected soul has to become an arrow and shoot out of the bucket, get into the mystic process and hit the target, the sun. It's allegorical, it's highly literal, poetic. And that's the purpose of Om, with the help of Om. Om is like the bow. When you practice your sadhana, you have stretched the bow. And you have placed your very soul as an arrow. And Brahman is your target. O disciple, the Upanishad says, apramatena vedhavyam. The mind that is completely alert, completely awakened, ever awakened, ever savadhan, with perfect attention. That's the ideal presented for aspirants. Your life has to be lived in such a way that deep within you there develops a subtle mystic song. When will I be united with Absolute? When will I realize I am that? Soham Asmi, that inner theme doesn't break. Outer, the whole life goes on with the problems, with your effort, with ups and downs. But that inner music continues. Don't take it literally. To understand it, what does it mean when you say inner music? Illustrate that simple way. Think of the, how does a mother care for a child? The love for the child is the inner music. That music goes on in mother's heart all the time. But at the same time, the mother is busy with so many activities. Shouting and struggling and sneezing and coughing, all types. But in spite of all that, the subtle melody of love, the feeling of a loving baby, that doesn't break. If God is deeply understood by you, a type of love will be ignited within your heart, and that will continue constantly, even though you have forgotten everything deep down, that love is there. Things may seem very difficult, but if you start practicing it, once the mind begins to enjoy a sadhana, the mind is a fox. Go on telling the mind, do this, do that, and tell all the benefits. And the mind is not so interested. But give a little drop of honey to the nose of the mouth, of the mind, and say the mind like a fox. Give a little drop of honey. Now, even if you tell the fox, don't come with me, don't follow me, he'll follow. So, in the beginning, initiating your mind to japa, repetition of divine name, turning your mind to God, it seems like a difficult task. But when you go on understanding, you are turning your mind to absolute, supreme love. Day by day your mind goes after things you love. And you have no problem with it. Try to understand all things you love. Behind them there is only one reality. God. He is the source of all your different forms of love. Once that tick enters the mind, now the question of how can I turn my mind to God, that question becomes ridiculous. And that state of development is where you have shot the arrow. An arrow is having moving towards the target. This topic has been taken up, and my explanations are not limited exactly to the academic study of Prashnopanishad, but to profounder implications. इट्स मोर अप्लाइड स्टडी. तस्मै स होवाच एतद् वै सत्यकाम परम चापरम च ब्रह्म यदोंकार एंड सो फोर्थ. ही रिप्लाइड ओ सत्यकाम दिस ओम इज द लोअर एज वेल एज द हायर एस्पेक्ट ऑफ ब्रह्म. When we talk of God, we talk of God in two aspects. Aparabrahman, Parabrahman. Parabrahman is absolute, transcendental. Parabrahman cannot be thought of, cannot be meditated upon. Because Parabrahman has no looks, no names, no forms, no attributes. But in order to let the mind turn to that absolute, you use a symbolic medium, a support for your mind, that's called alamban. The absolute Brahman is called nirgun nirakar. Nirakar, no form. Nirgun, no attributes, no qualities. Let me give you just the sequence. The most practical level where you are very secure, called sagun sakar. When you are initiating into any mantra, like Ram mantra, Shiva mantra, you are presented with Brahman in the form of Rama, in the form of Shiva, Krishna, or whomsoever. That form, you can look at it. It has various details about it. Behind the form there are mystical stories, stories of boundless compassion, stories that are inspiring, elevating. So that becomes the basis for your sagun upasana. You're reciting your mantra and you're looking at the deity and you are reminded of how all great things the deity had done, and therefore you're turning to the deity, his compassion will take away all your impurities. Sakrideva prapannaya tvasmiti chayachate. In Ramayana, Rama says, whoever will turn to me, saying, O Lord, I am dying, immediately I give refuge to that person, even though he has been a great sinner. Even though the entire world is against him, he will be secured by you. So that's the role of sagun sakar. Next aspect as you advance, sagun nirakar. Your mind has come to a level where form is not important, but the attributes of God, God who is all sustaining, all love, all compassion, all joy. These great attributes have no form. Try to work it out. Think of happiness, bliss. Can you paint bliss? Can you describe bliss to have head and feet and arms? So if God becomes all joy, even in physical relations, when you are coming from a far-off land to meet your family, first you may be a son coming to meet your mother. First importance is the bodily relation, you see the body. The next, physical body is transcended. You become you begin to experience the inner warmth, the inner love. In that experience, physical body has gone away. I'm giving you so many ways to understand the point. Similarly, with God, we started with physical body, his form. It helped you and it goes on helping you. But now you come to the next rung. You are not reminding yourself that there is Krishna, what type of more mukut he has, peacock feather, and what type of color, etc. Rather, your mind is saturated with how joyous his supreme love, his ocean of honey, and so forth. Then that's what we call sagun nirakar. Attributes are all there, but there is no form. Now, you must also understand as you advance still higher, when you are filled with joy or boundless admiration of anyone, you become dumb. Your very mind that was working out with various attributes now just slips into boundless stillness, a mystic silence, gripped by mystic silence. That state is nirgun nirakar. That state is state of Parabrahman. So, first you started with Saguna Brahman. We had through two stages. Sagun Sakar, Sagun Nirakar. Third, Parabrahman. Absolute Brahman, for whom there is no name, no form, no description. The best you can come up to is Neti Neti. Not this, not this. In the Gita, Lord Krishna declares, I am the syllable Om among the Vedas. And Raj Yoga Sutras, Patanjali Maharshi gives his teaching that it is by turning to God with the japa of Om that you follow the path of surrender to God. And that surrender is the direct road to samadhi. Om is the secret of experiencing samadhi, super consciousness.